What sort of jumps out at you about the challenge that they present to you guys?
Balance, number one. These guys are committed to run the ball, and they have a play-action passing game that works directly in conjunction with their run game. So they make their runs and play-action passes look exactly the same. So they're a tough offense to defend in that regard. You know, and then they have really good passing quarterback and really good receivers to throw to, you know, highlighted by Andre Johnson, who will probably be the Texans' first Hall of Fame guy once he retires 5 years later. And he's still very big, very strong and fast and runs excellent routes and is a really good player to go to, hard player to play against. They got really good tight ends that they are both very good receiving tight ends that they're very comfortable throwing the ball to. And they throw the ball deep, short, and intermediate. You know, they got really good balance in their offense.
Especially good test for Eric Reed, just in with play action and not biting and not going in one direction.
Well, it's a test for Eric and all of our guys. You know, it's they have a very tough offense to defend. They marry everything together in the running game and the passing game off their play action, and they're one of the few teams too that still has a very good drop back passing game on the early downs too. So it's not all play action.
Justin, your voice of concern. Obviously, they block similarly to Seattle. How that can also be dangerous for a defensive lineman's legs. I mean, how do you go up against that? How do you prevent that? Do you
need to
counter that?
Right. You know, they don't do it to that same extent, and it's legal as we stand right now. So we just got to play.
Do you expect to have Patrick Willis for the game?
I think Pat's getting a lot better, making great progress, and I think the chances are better than 50-50, but we don't know for sure yet.
Set on a number three cornerback, everything being equal, everybody being healthy?
Not yet, but right now I still think it'll be Brock this week.
How did he play against St. Louis?
Good. He did a nice job. He probably had the biggest play of the game in breaking up that pass that Dante intercepted in the end zone. That was a third and one. Deep into the second quarter, they were in field goal range, and I think the score was only 7-3 at the time. So that was a very, very critical play at that time, and he made that. And he made some other good plays.
What about Will Hoyt, especially if he has to be covering some of these tight ends on Sunday?
Well, he's got a tough assignment. You know, these guys are excellent passing team and running team. And the linebackers, I think, you know, you alluded to testing Eric Reed. It's the ILBs have a harder test in deciphering run or pass against this play action game and being sound in their coverage, but yet being good playing the run also.
How great of a game did Bowman have for you guys?
He played really good. You know, he did a good job pass rushing and blitzing, which, you know, we've been wanting those guys to do better on, and he did well, made some plays in the backfield. He really played a very good game.
Brock is the number three as it stands right now. Is that partly a function of Nambi still coming back from his injury?
Yes, that's, you know, that's part of it, obviously part of the equation still.
How do you assess how Dan Scuda and Corey did?
They did fine. You know, they both played, you know, the way the game unfolded, Corey played a little bit more than Dan. But it's kind of, you know, we're kind of treating it like we did in 2011, you know, where Dan is playing the base stuff and Corey's playing the sub stuff, although they both can be interchangeable because they – like one time during the game when we had the punt twice back-to-back because of a penalty, Dan had to cover both those punts. We were in base defense, and Corey wasn't on that punt team, so he went out and took the base snaps there for Dan after doing basically two 50- or 60-yard sprints back-to-back.
Can Corey play both sides, or is yes. he more comfortable on the left?
He can play both sides, as Dan can also.
Does the emergence of the rookie wide receiver kind of make you guys keep teams honest defensively as far as approaching Andre Johnson?
Well, yeah, they've got their whole receiving core. When they like to play a lot of two tight ends and two wide receivers, and those two tight ends are good receivers. And then that's with Andre and Hopkins out there. Those are two really good receivers. So, you know, their skill with – and they got the really good back. They got two good backs. So, you know, these guys are really good, and they're a tough assignment because they're balanced. And they'll stay balanced throughout the game, even, you know, as long as they can.
With the
really unique in that it seems like some teams against you guys, they can't run and they say, well, you know, screw it, which is this pass. But are they somewhat unique in the NFL in that they really are committed to their own game?
Well, they really are. You know, they've been they've won a lot of games there the last few years and have scored a lot of points and gotten a lot of yards on a lot of people. And I think it's because they have a commitment to a balanced offense. You know, they try hard not to become one-dimensional. And with their defense playing the way it is, you know, they can do that for a long time.
With the increased emphasis on protecting defenseless receivers, do you think that could change the way offenses attack you or attack anybody in terms of taking more chances over the middle, sending guys up in the air, that kind of thing?
Well, I've always said, you know, when – you know, they're finding these people for these hits, they should be finding the quarterback for throwing these guys into those big hits, you know, or, you know, however. But we just got to learn, and we have, to hit correctly. Don't lead with the helmet. Stay off their head. The part that's hard about it all is the league has instructed the officials to err on the side of caution, so they're going to throw the flag no matter what. So ultimately what is a great play by the defender, but it looks so because it's such a great hit, and but it's a clean hit. A lot of times the flag's being thrown because it just looks that way. And I would wish they would do a better job in that.
You think a booth review, you know, make that a reviewable play would be?
I don't know if you have to review it. I don't know that the officials need to err. They need to err on the correct side, not on the safe side, because if it is an illegal hit, the guy will get fined on Monday or Tuesday. So it's not, if you miss it as an official, that doesn't mean that it's over and done with.
Well, speaking of hit,
where did you fall on Dante's hit on Gibbons?
The angles I've seen so far looked like a good play. You know, he did not lead with his head. It looked to me like he jolted the guy pretty good in the shoulder with his shoulder, and the guy's head snapped because of the impact of the hit, which made it look, you know, like an illegal hit, and so they threw the flag.
What was the call on that pick? I forgot. They said unnecessary roughness, but what did they say about was the receiver defenseless?
Well, yeah, all of that. Yeah, all of that. I don't know exactly what they called, but if they unnecessary roughness or I don't know.
Coach, do you have a take on the change of his name from Whitner to Hittner?
He did not consult me before he made that decision. I tell them to rethink it because I do know if you change your name, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, you got some funds you have to come up with for jerseys is one thing. And whatever. You know.